to tickle the ears of every individual and give them an opportunity to receive it, Lord God. I count it an honor and a privilege to be your pastor here at the City of Refuge, and I don't count it lightly the things that you are about ready to do and that which you have already done. Use me for your glory and your honor, Lord God. All of my sins that I have committed are before you, and I confess those that I haven't confessed before you. That is nothing that will hinder you from using me today inside this ministry. We ask, Lord God, that you allow your Holy Spirit to do that which you have sent him to do, not only to comfort, but to edify and to exhort, and to bring all things back to my remembrance in Jesus' name. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. Good morning. Hallelujah. Good morning. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 51. I just want to read a few verses of the Word of God for you, if you don't mind. When you have it, say amen. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Hallelujah. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I want to take my text from the 11th verse. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I want you to look at the person next to you. Catch them face to face, eye to eye. Look at them and stare them for a few moments till you see the pimples on their face. That's how hard I want you to look at them, like you looking through them, and say, I got a question to ask you. Is my God, your God, a convenience, or is he your God of necessity? Look at somebody say, necessity. Say it with some attitude, necessity. You know, I had the privilege to, and I think, you know, let me go back before I get to preaching. Can I boast on my church for a few moments? The church that God allowed me to be at, the members in this congregation, the partners into this kingdom work that we are deciding to do together. I hear so many sad stories in. Brother Gene can relate to this by being in church, that you have a lot of pastor who talks negative and bad about the members in their church when pastors get together, don't they? And it gets to the place where they be saying some things. I be looking at them, they say, Pastor, what about you? I ain't got no problem with the people I got. I love my folks. I say, you know what? They allowed me to come down here to Hampton this week. And I think people don't understand how much of a privilege it is to be able for me to get away like I'm doing, and y'all allowing me to get away, because it's taking me to another level where I come to the understanding. Just let me just talk for a few moments, that my biggest hindrance in the past was that I was being fed from people on the same level or with levels below me, that it's like eating, and you eating at McDonald's when you used to eating at Sweetwater's. Some of y'all catch this on. So I've been getting frustrated because of the service that people have been giving to me, and the food that I've been eating has not been high quality food because I'm used to high quality food. So it gets to the level where I'm just getting it, but I'm getting sick after getting it. So I'm not giving you anything because I'm not getting nothing in return. That I have to learn to go to places and gleam off of other people's field that's full of food and nourishment that you may receive from me at a stronger level. And the reason why this ministry is not growing is because I've been sitting at home. I'm about, oh, I can't go. Now I have no excuses why I cannot go. So I go now so I can be fed. But it tickled me one of the pastors saying, when I go, I don't want none of my members to go with me. I said, I understand. He said, but I got something they want to tag along. They wanted me to be there. I don't want to be with them because it's my time for God to beat me, whip me, chastise me, and I'm not with the members where I have to hold up this banner of holiness. I can sit there and say, I'm wrong. So I just wanted to let y'all know, thank you for allowing me to get away. Amen. A God of convenience is where most of us are sitting inside the body of Christ. And the word convenience is simply this, a state of being able to proceed with something with little or effort. Is a state of being able to proceed with something with little effort. Something being suitable to our comfort or needs. The word convenience is something that is plaguing the body of Christ, where everything we do has got to be convenient for us to do in order for us to do it. It's so bad that when it's not convenient, we say God is not in it. God is not moving on our behalf. If we're not comfortable, then we say God is not in it. God is not moving on our behalf. So I'm beginning to understand from my learning of last week that God is moving somewhere where the church is not at. Because we have made church to be this place where all of us are supposed to feel comfortable being inside of it. And so trials and tribulation, which is supposed to be rough and hard, when members or people that's in the body of Christ start enduring them, we say we what? Not saved. This is not God. God can't be doing this. Why am I going through this? And we are worried so much now about our life because we want God of getting to the place now. Now we need to be comfortable or at ease. We needed to accommodate us. We needed to fit our agenda. So now we want church to be comfortable. We want to feel easy in church. We don't want preachers actually to preach messages that makes us squirm in our seat or to examine ourselves. So it's the moment as preachers start preaching messages that make us squirm in our seat and examine ourselves, I got to go to another church. He ain't preaching. I'm tired of him preaching hell and fire and brimstone messages. And he really ain't preaching about hell, fire, and brimstone. He's just preaching about your issues. Hallelujah. Tell Pastor Preach that if you ain't, I don't worry about it. Y'all don't have to say nothing to me. I got enough amens in my corner today for you. So let me just rab back here and just do what I want to do. So if I do not accommodate what you want, you ain't even going to attend church. So I have to ask you what time you need me to have service. What time do the meeting need to be? So what do your calendars say? And so now, because we're now a church of convenience, we make everything suitable for the members in the church. Now the members in the church expect God to make everything suitable for what they want. And if it doesn't agree with me, then you're wrong. And if something that I cannot achieve with ease, God's not in it. And this attitude or mentality or realm of convenience, everything is centered around the individual, not God. It's about his wants or needs. It's about what he wants or needs. It's about him being pleased. And if he's not pleased, or if the task becomes difficult, then he abandons the task and blame everything on somebody else. We catch attitudes instead of try to work it out. Oh, y'all don't have to be with me. Or if we don't work it out, after me, trying to work at it. And our definition of working it out is getting you to agree to what I want. Then I'm leaving. Catch my little attitude. That's okay. Always. We don't understand that being in church and being in Christ is not about convenience. So we blame everything now for us not succeeding on the individuals that's around us. Then we make statements like this. If God knows everything, why didn't he tell Pastor to tell me this was going to happen? If God loves me, why am I going through what I'm going through? God, these statements irritate me. Who are you? If there is a God, why do he allow me to endure so much hurt and pain? Or other comments like this leads to attitudes as such. We only give when we need something in return. We pray only when we need something from God to make our life easier. We praise him when we become overwhelmed by mediocre trials. We get a headache, we want to praise him because it's mediocre. That's the only thing. When it comes too rough and too tough, we don't praise him then. It's just mediocre or trivial things is when we decide to pray. Oh, God bless me. I took two aspirins and my headache went away. Everything in our lives become diminished because it's about us being conveniently moving in God, that we don't allow things to build up to the level where an awesome God can come on the scene and change things that we can't even change. We go to church. Ouch. I said that for somebody before I got here. When there's nothing else to do. We look at our agenda and our schedule and say, whoops, I got this. Okay, I got to do this at 2 o'clock. Oh, my gosh, that means pastor got to get me out. Oh, what? I'm not going today because I have to do this at 2 o'clock. What do you got to do? Oh, we got to cook out. So I'm not going to church today. But what about your, somebody else will take care. I'm always at church. I'm there too much now. So now the church has come to the realm and come to the place where we have made excuses for us wanting a convenient God and want to be in a convenient place where we need a whole total ministry. We have to be inside the world as well as being in the church. Oh, I need a life outside of the church where we talk about the upbringing that we came from, but we learned that God wasn't a God of convenience when we was at church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Some of us did 5, 6, 7 days a week, not because it was God of convenience, but because we needed to. He was a God of necessity in my life, that I had to go. If I didn't go, I wouldn't stay. Convenience. Have you feeling that God needs you? That you are so important to the kingdom of God that you become proud of your accomplishments? Convenience. It has you taken advantage of grace and mercy that you just really feel that God would never, never let you fail. Convenience. Have you manipulating the scriptures to suit your views and that which you want to do? Convenience. There's only one end to convenience. Turns to Romans, the first chapter. Say, Pastor, hurt me, please. 121. We're going to read today. Because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and in their foolish hearts was darkened, possessing themselves to be wise, but became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creepy things. In other words, you brought down a holy righteous thing and put it on a level that made it convenient for you. Everything in your life is now being revolved about around you. God is no longer big. His plan does no longer matter. His purpose is no longer want to be fulfilled by you. That, if he doesn't work with what you want, you don't want to be bothered. That you change the agenda to suit that which you desire. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts and dishonored their own bodies with themselves, who changed the truth of God to a lie, worship and serve the creator, the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, he really doesn't matter to you. It's what you can obtain from him is all you are concerned about. I know this is rough, but it's the truth. That's what I had to do. For this cause, that some of us want God only out of convenience, that God has given them up to a vile affection. In other words, allow that which they want to supersede in their lives. Their own desires to overtake them. So say you don't want to come to church, but only when you want to come to church, then I'm going to stop fighting with you and making you come to church. Go ahead and do what you want to do. You don't want to work? That's okay. You don't have to work. Let me just let you lose your job. You don't want to be holy and righteous? Don't worry about it. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. That's the scary part. When a God of convenience is running rampant in your life and you never see the God of necessity. That bothers me when it's okay and you feel all right by not coming to church. It's okay and you feel okay by not happening to raise your hand. When you can sit there when somebody say, give God a praise. When you try to justify the reason why you brought the pair of shoes instead of paying your tithes. When you try to manipulate the scriptures from Old Testament to New Testament. When the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and say, no, about your giving. When you know when you looked in the mirror that that dress wasn't appropriate and you say, that's okay. It's new church today. I can wear this. There are things in the world. People in the world wearing this. Why can't I can wear it to church? They got to get over themselves. When you start justifying your wrong, and it becomes right in your mind, and looking for one individual to make a difference, who they are to jump up and say something so you can go off. He has become your God of convenience to fit that what you want. Not that which you need. And the sad part about it, when you lower him down from the creator into that mode, you're saying that he's underneath of you, serving you. After a while, he try to get you straight. But then, when you refuse to get straight, he turns you over. I can live by this. I can openly say this. I was at a place where bitterness sat so deeply up inside of me that I moved from the seat that I used to sit in to, that's why you always learn them first, to a back seat. I started avoiding leadership. I started avoiding folks because everybody got on my nerve. I started walking away from church and looking for a reason not to be at church. It's because Glenn wanted it Glenn way. Hallelujah. I love the scriptures. It's becoming one of my favorite scriptures, but it didn't used to be. He chastised them that he. And if he chastised me because he loves me, how come we can't accept chastisement from individuals in the ministry that loves us? For this cause, he gave them up to their vile affection, and even their woman has changed their natural use into the which is against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their lusts one towards another, with men working which is unseemly, and receiving themselves as recompense for of their errors which they met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, And even as they did not like to or come to the full knowledge of what God is doing, it's not that he didn't present himself. It's not that he didn't send Pastor Glenn E. Jenkins to you to tell you today, but you sat there like a bump on a log and refusing to hear it with a hardened heart and try to justify everything that your spirit trying to correct. He ain't talking about me. He knows too much about me anyhow. He just saying it because he knows this and he knows that. I get tired of folks. I don't want to be bothered with them. Do you don't think folks get tired of you? That's probably one of the craziest statements I heard people say. Folks get on my last nerve. Dude, I done been around you. You done got on my last nerve. Can I have somebody in this ministry raise your hand if somebody else in this ministry done irked you to the point where you wanted to just haul off and punch them? Yeah, you did. Yes, you have. The Holy Ghost stopped you, but you was dead one moment. It's time for us to stop lying to ourselves. If it wasn't for the Lord who was on your side, you would have punched them. If you was unsaved, you would have punched them. But the moment you got out of line, there was a comforter on the inside of you that reeled you back in before you got too far. Now, raise your hand this time again for truth, man. There's probably only one woman I would probably say is I'm glad it's up in here. I ain't never seen her upset. Hallelujah. Watch what he's doing. He gave them over. I loved God. So, in other words, he took his hands off, back, and let you do what you want to do to your own mind. So all them words where before he will hold you back, that he make the Holy Spirit speaks in and say, no, 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 and keep saying no until you listen. This time there's nobody's telling you anything. That's a scary place to be when you treat God in a convenient manner that he turns up and say, well, since you want me out of convenience, I'm going to give you convenience back. But I thank God because I have learned that's why we are in the situation that we are in. Because we are dealing with God only when it's convenient to us. That's why our finances are at a convenient state. That's why our holy life is at a convenient state. That's why our prayer life is at a, you can't get a prayer through. Because it's only when, that's why there's no praise in a church. That's why there's no worship no more going out. Because the elements of God do not move underneath the umbrella of convenience. When it's convenient for. Oh, I feel like preaching this thing up in here. You. But some of us have a God of necessity. And necessity is simply this. A requirement in order for something to be completed or achieved. In other words, if he don't step in, I can never finish it. My goals could not be achieved. My life will be nothing without him. I understand that he is the center of my joy. I understand if he's not there with me, I can't be there. But I understand that if God ain't before me, everything that's around me will destroy me. I understand that it's a necessity for me to wake up in the morning and give him praise. I understand there's a necessity for me to pray all day long. I understand it's a necessity for me to read my word. Because if I don't do these things, God will not function in my life. I cannot achieve my goal. Dr. Webster said, Very simple. Necessity is a basic requirement to sustain life. It's as important as food, water, and warmth. Hallelujah. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that every day, every last one of us, make sure them three things are flowing in our lives. Hallelujah. You make sure that there's food in your belly. You make sure there's water for you to drink. You make sure that there's warmth on your body. You have a mechanism on the inside of you that when either one of them things are at want or need, it kicks in and tells you, hey, it's time to eat. If that's the case, and God is a necessity, and he is required to speak to me and tell me you need to go to church, what's the problem? The problem is you the one that's starving yourself. You're the one that's going thirsty. You're the one that's being cold because of your attitude to think that God it only needs to be there when you want him there. I have never seen somebody with food in a house sit there and starve themselves to death. I never seen somebody got water in a speaker sit there all about, I'm thirsty, and do not get up to obtain. I never seen somebody walk outside when it's cold and got a jacket in the car sit out there. But yet, I have seen them in church. Starve themselves to death. Go thirsty and be shivering and don't even understand that all they have to do is get God. David in Psalm 51, I'm almost close, spoke so eloquent about something that's needed in the body of Christ. This psalm generates from an event in his life where he treated God as a God of convenience once he was elevated to the position of king. That where he should have been on a battlefield, hallelujah, fighting. He's laid in the late afternoon hours up in his bed. He changed his attitude from a fighter to want to do everything for God to a lazy individual once he got a little place inside of God, once he was elevated in another level inside of God. Once he started getting his name out there, he started believing the hype about himself. He stopped remembering who brought him and who can take him out of the game. Too many of us are sitting in church thinking that you have accomplished your goals to get here. You think that car that you got is from your hard work. You think that the promotion that you done received is from your hard work. You think the kids that you have is from your hard work. I'm here to put a screw up in your situation and tighten down on it and tell you that it wasn't for the Lord who was on your side, you would not be where you are today. Watch what happened once we began to achieve this convenient state of being. He laid up in the bed. 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Time has not changed. You woke up at sunrise. He did not have a night job. What is he doing 2 o'clock in the afternoon laid in bed when his boys are on the battlefield fighting for him? Some of y'all laid up in the bed 2 o'clock while we praying for you. You don't care about the kingdom. Why should I on your behalf? Because you got a hidden motive that you want to justify what you want to do. The reason why he was laying in bed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because that was the best view for him to get what he desired. Because he knew every day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there was this beautiful woman across the way that came out and took a bath. It was his way to get what he wanted, not what God desires out of him. And tried to act like that it was a sin that he can jump over, but really, it was something that he had on the inside of him that he desired to do that took over his life. He wasn't honest with himself. Excuse me, servant, who is that across the street? King, you know who that is. That's Uzziah's wife. And that's what he's saying. Why are you asking me? You've seen her numerous times. You've been checking her out. I've been sitting here with you. You asked this question one time before. You already asked me if I did this, is it sin? And I told you if you do A, B, and C, it's sin. Why are you asking me again?
Look at what I say. Because that's what you want to do.
After he brought her in. After he sinned, the scripture clearly states that she cleansed herself or washed herself or purified herself after the events of sex was taking place. But David rolled over and marinated in it. She was done. He stayed in it. Not trying to come out of it or change his thinking to get back to the God of necessity movement in his life. He tried to make everything work out for his sin. Ooh, I'm going somewhere. Look at somebody say, God's going somewhere. When you have a God of convenience, the God of convenience, you want him to conform over to your sin or your mess. So let's this way. She's pregnant. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Hey, Uzziah, let's call him back in the battlefield. Get him to go down here and sleep with him. He would not go sleep with her. Let me get him drunk. So he can go sleep. He still didn't go sleep with her. Okay, he won't go get drunk so I can blame the child on him. So let me see what I'm going to do then. Okay, all right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm a king. Do y'all hear me? I'm a Christian. I'm a leader. I'm going to manipulate my situation. I'm going to manipulate the word, my status, to let it work in my favor since God don't want to do it. Hey, Joel, send your eye on the front line. Remove everybody from him and let him and his troops die. Then he had audacity to give it to Uriah and say, hey, go take this to Joel. He walking up his death sentence out of commitment to God and his king, dealing with a man that wanted God when it was convenient for him. He wanted the title and position when it was convenient for him. Did not want to be difficult or rough. Did not want to change when he found out he was doing wrong. Uriah died, and here comes Nathan, the great prophet. Hey, let me tell you a story, David. One sheep, shepherd had one sheep, and another one had many. But the one that had many coveted the one that he had and took him, defiled it, destroyed it. What would you do with such a man? Shoo. Huh. If anything happened, he destroyed. Well, King David, holy, righteous one, deep and profound individual, moaner and groaner of the word of God, hoopa, highly exalted in your own right, in your own state of being, one that looks down the nose at every individual that does not believe what you believe. It is you and your position can't protect you.
I'm here to tell, I'm here today to tell some of y'all that God told me to tell you that the gig is up, that he's about ready to give you an opportunity to accept him as a God of necessity. But if you choose not to, you're going to die. This was the great question asked to him. And because he come to the understanding that woe is me. I got issues. I got problems. I got complications going on the inside of me that making me do things that I'm not happy with. And the worst of anything, I try to cover it up. He wrote this beautiful song at his lowest place. Hallelujah. I call it his crossroad of success. Because a lot of us think that because David wrote Psalms, God loved him. But God said David was a man, hallelujah, that was after his own heart. In other words, it wasn't a mess up that God looked at David. It was the comeback after the mess up that God loved from David, that whenever he did wrong, he stopped blaming folks for his doing wrong. Well, he knew that if he didn't have God with him, he can't make it tomorrow. So my very most important thing for me to do today is to clear up my schedule to give God what he needs. So he wrote this song to get back in the good graces of God. He didn't care about kingship. He didn't care about his future. All he wanted to do was to please God. And he understood that if he asked God for forgiveness of his sins, if he went to God and said, God, you know I sinned. God, you know I messed up. God, I was born in sin. God, I was shapen in iniquity. God, I know my sins was against you and you only. I can't blame Bathsheba for my wrongdoing. I can't blame Uzziah for not going to lay in the bed. I can't blame Joel for doing what I command him. The buck stops right here at me. So today, I'm going to take my responsibility for the things that I have done wrong and tell God, wash me, pure me, cleanse me, do what you got to do with me. But please, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me out of your presence. Because if you're not there, I can't get right. Yeah! Look at your neighbor and ask them, do you need God? And so, he need a praise right now. Yeah! Yeah! See, a praise is a deposit for what God desires. I gotta give him a praise. I need to give him a praise, because he's a God of necessity. And if he be lifted up, I know he'll draw me unto him. I got to come higher. I got to go higher. I got to get up out of this mess. I need to give him a praise. I need to worship his name. I need to stay in his word. I need to come to church. I don't care if my wife don't come. I don't care if my pocketbook says I can't come. If I gotta walk, I walk. If I gotta crawl, I crawl, because I need him. Your neighbor looking at you and saying, it don't take all of that. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're a liar. It takes all of this and some more. Because you don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the shape and the condition that I'm in. You don't know if I don't get a prayer through, I'm gonna die tomorrow. You don't know what it takes for me to get my deliverance. It may not take all of that from you, but me, it takes that and much, much more. Do I have any much, much more saints? They want to give him a much, much more praise. That's tired of the devil getting a victory out of your mistakes. Somebody clap your hands up in here. Yeah! 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 I say, yeah! David came to the conclusion that whatever happens, happens. No one more, Sister Monica, about my ministry. Sister Ned, I'm not even concerned anymore whether I'm king or not king. Lady Marguerite, I'm not concerned what the people may think about me, because really, they don't matter. The only thing that I'm concerned with is that I stay in the good standings with God. Because as long as I got Jesus, it don't matter. As long as my salvation's intact, it don't matter. I may be drugged through the mud, but in God's sight, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. You can talk about me all you want. God gonna stand at the judgment seat, and he gonna stand on my behalf. I don't even have to show up to court. He gonna say, Glenn, he's been covered by the blood on that charge, that charge, that charge, that charge, and that charge. Where is he? I'm standing in on behalf of him. So anything you wanna do to him, you have to do it unto. Look at your neighbor. Say, yeah, I'm guilty, but I'm free. Say, yeah, I'm guilty, but I'm free.